Well, the boomers are aging, they're retiring, and many of them will be looking for meaningful ways to spend their golden years. But lots of challenges loom out there. There are financial concerns with Social Security. There are the obvious health concerns. And there are long-standing questions about how to harness all that expertise that senior citizens possess. Here today to talk about all this is Dr. Jim Furman. He's president and CEO of the National Council on Aging, and he's in town for the Mid-America Regional Council's Age Positive Conference happening tomorrow over at the Kauffman Foundation. And Dr. Furman, Jim, so nice to have you here. Welcome to Kansas City.
I'm delighted to be here.
Well, generally speaking, Jim, will baby boomers enjoy their retirements as much as our parents have?
Well, it depends. It depends on how we spend our time, whether we take the steps necessary to be healthy, whether we've adequately prepared financially, and whether we figure out what to do with this gift of longevity.
Those are a lot of things, that boxes to check off. I'm guessing some folks are going to be missing two or three check marks there.
My guess is that most of us, and I say us because I'm almost 65, I'm a baby boomer, most of us are not firing on all cylinders.
Mm-hmm. What do you see as the biggest challenge that soon-to-be retired folks face?
I think it's, what am I going to do with the rest of my life?
Mm-hmm.
We have this gift of longevity, this gift of time. In fact, baby boomers have more than a billion healthy years in the United States. But if you look at what people are actually doing with their time, they're spending about 9 hours a day sleeping, 8 hours a day in leisure, which is mostly watching television, a few hours in chores, and probably less than an hour a day on average, doing things that are good for themselves and good for others.
What do you make of that?
I make of it that we have a phase of life that has unprecedented. Two-thirds of all the people in the history of the world or over the age 65 are alive today. We have this period of life and no expectation. If you ask people what the purpose of this phase is, they would probably say leisure or Hakuna Matata, no worries for the rest of my days.
Right.
And that really doesn't make sense, given that the average male who's retiring at 65 will have 13 good years, and the average woman will have 17 good years. That's of good health post-65.
So I gather you're suggesting here, Jim, that this notion of no expectation may not be the right notion.
I think it's a terrible notion. I think the idea that and it's really ageism as its worst form. What do we expect of children? We expect that they will learn and grow and get ready for the next phase of life, have fun. We expect of middle-aged people that they'll work and they'll take care of their kids and they'll take care of their parents. But when people turn 65, what do we expect of them? Really nothing. We expect that they'll vote. And we'll expect that they'll do what they want. And I think that it's a tremendous loss for society, as well as for those individuals.
It's such a profound idea, and I'm old enough now where I've just begun to sort of think about that just a little bit. This notion that you're churning on all cylinders, or something you hope is close to all cylinders, one day, and then the next, You're just not, and there, you know, we've sort of been groomed to think that, hey, we've been working all our lives, you know, it's time to get away from work, and you sort of want to try that path, but you also get into this cycle after all these decades where work is sort of what you know,
right? And so, some people just keep working because that's the thing that they know, or they stop working and they don't know what to do, and this notion that. This artificial notion that the first phase of life is learning and the second phase is work and the third is leisure really it doesn't make any sense. The real question should be for people who are in their 60s and older is what's the right combination of learning, work, and leisure? I grew up in the 60s, so I grew up in a period of great idealism. We thought we were going to change the world,
sure.
And we knew what to do. And actually, at the time we were that idealistic, we had no real ability to change the world. We
mm-hmm.
didn't have influence. We didn't have money. We weren't very skilled. But we went from that idealism to a period, and then life happened. You know, we had jobs, went to military, work, et cetera. And now we're at the point where we actually do have time, talent, influence, experience, and could change the world. And yet many of us are checking out and saying the purpose of our this next phase of life is to play golf.
So, you're talking about kind of a significant paradigm shift here that we have to make in society to turn this corner. And those are always tough to do. I mean, changing the direction of an ocean liner here, in a sense, to from pure leisure to something that's a little bit different.
Right. I think it is a fundamental shift. And there have been lots of great people making the case, well, people should stay involved, they should be more engaged, but they've been making it for the wrong reason. They've been saying, not the wrong reason, but they're saying, you should do this because you'll feel better. It's good for you. And the fact is, you will feel better if you're contributing. But I think it goes much beyond that. I think Hakuna Matata is the wrong philosophy. There's one in the Jewish tradition called Tikkun Olam, which is that the purpose of life is to heal the world, mm-hmm. to make a contribution, to make it better. I think we have to change it should be a sacred responsibility with this gift of time to use it wisely, no matter what your religious perspective is, or if you don't have a religion, just spiritual, that we have an opportunity to make the world better. And that could be something as simple as reading to a child.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing, there's no greater predictor of a child's readiness for kindergarten and whether they've been read to.
Yeah.
But we know there are a lot of single parents who work a lot and don't have time to read to their children. So I think all of us each night should say to ourselves, what did I do today to help another human being? A little shift, I think, could be powerful.
Dr. Jim Furman's my guest. He's president and CEO of the National Council on Aging, and he'll be giving the keynote address tomorrow at MARCS. That's the Mid-America Regional Council's Age Positive Conference over at the Kauffman Foundation. More information on that, go to MARC, that's MARC.org. You know, so we're talking about paradigm shifts on two different levels here. One is the new way of thinking that at least many retirees, you suggest, need to gravitate towards. The other one, it seems to me, is on the rest of society, the younger folks who, and we've talked about this on this show, who might begin to think about this idea of, hey, there's all this expertise out there that we could still tap into to help this company or to help this city or whatever it might be.
Yes, there's a huge reservoir of untapped talent in this country. And really, the two greatest reservoirs are older people and kids. And if we can figure out how to connect them more and to for them to do more together, whether it's older people mentoring kids, whether it's kids helping older people, whether it's young and old doing things together, there's a magic there and there's a spark in society. And that's another difference between us and the earlier generations. When families were together, you didn't have to plan programs because grandparents and grandkids were naturally taking care of each other as the need. Now the families move apart. It doesn't happen naturally. So we have to find ways to make that happen for many more people.
If you seniors or soon-to-be seniors out there want to chime in on this conversation, your concerns about finding ways to be productive in your golden years, or maybe things you found that have worked really well for you, I'd love to hear your suggestions. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here, or you can tweet us at KCUR up to date. Well, we're talking about all this, Jim, and yet your National Council on Aging has developed this program called the Aging Mastery Program. Your website describes it this way. The nation's 76 million baby boomers have been given an unprecedented gift of health and time, but to a great extent, older adults do not make the most of this phase of life. The National Council on Aging created the Aging Mastery Program to develop new expectations, norms, and pathways for people age 50 to 100 to make most of their gift of longevity. Talk to me about this idea that, to a great extent, older adults do not make the most of this phase of life.
Well, so we know that the average person, 65 to 74 years old, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, spends 9 hours a day sleeping, 8 hours a day in leisure, which about six of those is watching television at a couple hours a day in chores, and less than an hour a day, if you add it all up, in civic activities, helping other people, even doing things like exercising for themselves. So our whole goal is if we, I like television, I like radio and love the show, but if people spent an hour or less watching television, instead did more helping other people, that would be huge. And that's what we want to do, shifts that change people's lives. And what we found when you ask baby boomers and say, what do you want? They say they want to have fun. They want to make friends. They want to be healthy. They want to be financially secure. So we realized that the key to getting people to do things is to make it fun. If you can make it fun and you can create friends in the process of doing things that are good for you and good for others, that's the magic of the program, and that's what we think we have at Aging Mastery.
You know, my dad always says, he's almost 90 years old, and he says, you start watching TV, you start dying. You know, and he doesn't watch much TV, you know, to his credit.
Well, and I'm saying watch 5 hours, not seven.
Yeah.
And even just that shift, it's little things that can make a big difference, because most of what we learned in high school, I learned in high school, isn't true. I learned that exercise was push-ups, sit-ups, and sprints. Well, that's not the appropriate exercise. I never learned anything about hydration in high school back in phys ed classes, but many older people are dehydrated and don't know it. Up and down the line, there's just a lot of things we have to learn. And we just need to find ways to get that to
them. We'll talk more about the Aging Mastery Program in just a moment. Let me go to some calls here. And John from Overland Park. John, welcome to Up to Date. You're on this morning with Dr. Jim Furman.
Yeah, hi. Thank you very much. I was just wanted to comment that I was an air traffic controller for 28 years and was forced to retire at 56, and I'm now 58. And I found that there's plenty to do, and I just didn't fall into the void like the speaker's talking about, that there's volunteer opportunities and taking care of my grandkids and gardening and all types of things, traveling.
That's great.
I don't feel like that I've fallen into that void, and I hope that when I turn 65 that I don't fall into that void that he's speaking of.
Did you prepare for it, John? Did you get yourself ready for this next phase of your life?
Not really. I worked right up to the end, and
just stepped off the diving board, and there you go, eh?
Yeah. There's a lot of people that I work with. I worked in Olathe at the Air Traffic Control Center, and a lot of people have a hard time, and they go back to work in Oklahoma City at the training facility or some other jobs, but I didn't have that difficulty. I found that I was ready, and after 28 years of doing air traffic control and the stress every day, that I found that being the rest that I got has really helped my health, so
What have you enjoyed most, John, about your new life?
The speaker was talking about it, that, you know, I like the idea that I don't have any worries, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I get up in the morning, I do what I need to do, and if I don't get it done, I got tomorrow. But I guess that's the Kuma Sitata that he was talking about. But I don't find that as a difficulty. I don't know.
Hey, John, how long have you been retired now?
It'll be 3.5 years.
I gather, based on your experience, and John, I really appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
Jim, that John's experience just sort of working one day and not really preparing and then going off in retirement and enjoying it, he's fortunate. And maybe he's the exception to the rule, too?
I don't know if he's the exception. I think that a lot of people in the early phase, so he's in his early phase of retirement, first 3 years, or the first 5 or 6 years. Most people that I do enjoy it, people, if somebody's been forced to retire, sometimes they don't, if they go unwillingly. But if they chose retirement, or even John's case, if he didn't choose it, there was mandatory retirement. Most people are okay in the first 3 to 5 years. They, if their goal was to play golf, they play a lot of golf, and they get their first hole in one, and then they get their second hole in one. But I worry more about people 5 to 7 to 10 years out.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because after you've done
5 to 7 years into
retirement. I mean, most of us have this list of places they want to go, things they want to do, and fortunately they're maybe more able financially and in good health to travel. But at some point along the way, not everybody, but people say, is that all there is? What more do I do? And then the challenge becomes it's difficult. And John seems to be a proactive person creating opportunities, but it's not that easy sometimes to find the good volunteer opportunities, or much often very hard to get back to work because you've been out for a while. So I wish John the best, but I also worry that at some point down the road, there's going to be a need for something deeper. Now, that doesn't mean he'll find it, but it leisure is not enough for the next 20 years for most people. That's my personal belief.
So I get the sense you're saying there's an initial euphoria that might linger for a few years, but at some point that fades a little bit.
Yes, there is great joy in being able to do what you want and not being on a schedule. But after a while, it gets stale. Or practically speaking, what the data shows is people fill up their time watching television. So it gets to the point somewhere along the line, if the average senior, and this is over 65 to 100, they're spending 7 hours a day watching television. So somehow something's going wrong there.
One more call here. Chris from Lenexa. Chris, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Well, good morning. I've enjoyed listening to your guests, and it kind of prompted me to call. I'm an employer I've had an ad for an estimator in some construction projects, and it occurs to me that maybe I'm looking for younger people, and maybe I should be looking for older people that have retired and maybe want to get back into the workforce. What's a good resource for finding people like that?
That's a great question, Chris.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah.
So, in most areas, I'm not sure your Department on Aging would be the Council on Aging would be a great place to start. There are also some senior community service employment programs.
The Shepherd Center here is very active.
Yes. Yeah. And I want to say, though, but what you're talking about, first of all, I think my advice for people related to this is not to stop working completely, because most people find it very difficult when they've been out for a few years to get back into work. Even if they know, the computer systems have changed or other things, it's difficult to stop working and then to come back a few years later. It's much better to look for part-time work in your field, and whether it's so the kind of work you were looking for, somebody, estimators, contractors who could work on a part-time basis, that's a great arrangement. It's great for the older person. You'll find, and studies show, they're more reliable employees, they're more loyal employees. They're really terrific employees. So I applaud you as an employer for looking that way. And then if you're not in a position as who retired and, let's say, can go back to your profession, maybe look at Uber or Lyft. There's things like that where anybody can now. That's been a great creator of part-time jobs for older people.
Well, Chris, I'm glad you called. Thanks very much.
Thanks for your comments.
You bet. Jim, tell us a little bit more about what the Aging Mastery Program is. What are you driving at there, and how does someone connect with it?
Well, one of the reasons I'm here is we're very excited. Clay County is going to be the first location in Missouri to start the Aging Mastery Program, probably sometime in the fall, and I'm here to talk about amping up the rest of the Kansas City and the Missouri area tomorrow. The program basically is a fun, engaging program. It starts at a once-a-week program. It's a class for 10 weeks, once a week, for typically 90 minutes, where you cover the basics, the introduction, the idea that you've been given a gift and of time and spend your gift wisely and be grateful for it. Classes on exercise, sleep, healthy relationships, medication management, advanced planning, financial planning. It really covers the gamut of programs. And then after the 10 weeks, what happens is people don't want to stop. They want to keep going. So we have elective classes once a month as continuing education.
I was really struck by the fact that three of the four skill sets you have on your website in connection with the Aging Mastery Program have to do with physical health, exercise and healthy eating and hydration, and sleep. To what extent are seniors struggling with the physical fitness aspect of aging?
Well, that's foundational. It's really difficult to enjoy life if you're not healthy. And a lot of the issues that older people have, most old people have chronic conditions, hypertension, arthritis, diabetes, et cetera. And 90% have at least one chronic condition. 75% have multiple chronic conditions. And for all of those, the solutions are not what the doctors will tell you to do. It's exercise, diet, hydration, nutrition, managing stress and sleeping well. So if you're going to enjoy the rest of your life, you have to take care of your body. You have to take care of your mind. So we start with that foundational primer, because like I said, most of what I learned back in high school is really out of date and not appropriate. And then add to it relationship, finances, acts of kindness, giving back, et cetera.
Just quickly, you've mentioned hydration a couple of times. Why is that a common difficulty with many of our seniors?
Well, as we grow older, we lose our ability to distinguish between hunger and thirst sometimes. So
really?
Actually, older people, and we don't realize it's a change in our senses, the sense of taste and et cetera. So we think we're hungry, but we're actually thirsty, which is a double whammy. So we overeat. And we don't drink enough.
I've never heard this before.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
And again, like I said, my 20-year-old kids, they all walk around with water bottles, but we didn't learn that back
in
the day. So we're just not aware of it, and it's really a serious issue.
How much water do you drink a day?
Well, you know, that's a whole controversy. But the actual thing is what you really need to do is pay attention to your thirst. And what the doctors now say, if you feel thirsty, you probably are. But most of the time, you're not asking yourself. So sipping throughout the day is the key.
Debbie from Harrisonville. Debbie, good morning. Nice to have you.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hello.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to put a plug in for the National Park System. My husband and I retired about 3-4 years ago, and we've been national park volunteers.
Wow.
And we find that we really enjoy that.
Has it been good for your health?
Yes, because one thing, we volunteer at historic sites, so we do a lot of walking. And the other thing is we're learning history that we didn't know existed, really.
So where have you been? What sites have you worked at, Debbie?
Our favorite is Grand Portage, Minnesota. It's a national monument, and it's a 1790s fur trade depot.
Ah.
And my husband has actually helped the rangers there harvest the bark and the tree and built a birch bark canoe.
Wow, that sounds great.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to emphasize that. I think that's wonderful. If you go to any national park system these days, you will notice that many of the volunteers are baby boomers and older adults. And I think that's terrific on a number of levels, talking about using the time and talent of people. And it's a very, as you said, very healthy group of people because they're in beautiful places, appreciating nature. And the other thing I want to say is that anybody over 60 is eligible for a Golden Eagle Pass, which means they can get free entry into every national park in the United States. So every person should be taking advantage of that national treasure.
Debbie, I'm glad you called. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Well, what can a city like Kansas City do, Jim, to help its elder population remain, a vibrant part of the community?
Well, I think Kansas City is leading in some of that. The fact that we're having a conference tomorrow on positive aging, highlighting not just aging mastery, but a whole variety of terrific programs which focus on the aspirational side of aging, recognizing that, there are challenges ahead and all of us are going to need some help at some point. So I think encouraging programming like aging mastery, positive aging, other things like that is really a great way to do it. And then to really sparking these conversations about what is the purpose of this phase of life? How do we make best and highest use of the time and talent that we have?
Well, Jim Furman, again, is president and CEO of the National Council on Aging. He's in town for the Mid-America Regional Council's Age Positive Conference. More information about that event at the Kauffman Foundation. Jim will be giving the keynote address tomorrow. Just go to marc.org. That's marc.org. And Jim, you taught me something today. I really appreciate it. Thanks very much for your time.
Thanks for having me.